don't worry, pray, and be happy. Over here, make sure you're up as high as possible. Right here. That's it. I want to continue to preach in your hearing. Don't worry, pray, and be happy. It is an important and vital message for many Christians today. I would venture to say that most Christians worry, and 1 ounce of worry is too much. They're fretful, overly concerned, burdened down, fearful. Because worry and fretfulness and anxiety will make you fearful. And that is not the kind of spirit that God wants you to have. And so I'm trying to encourage you to don't worry, pray, and be happy. This is part 5, Praying Through the Bible, number 318. So everybody stand. Most of you are standing already. And turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You should have that now. Give it back to her. I beseech you, Adias, and beseech Sintaish. That's how the YouTube lady says it. I call it Syntyche. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice. And by the way, contrary to what some women say, and even some men say, Paul was not anti-woman. He had many women serving with him in the ministry. The Bible makes that clear. So did Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the issue, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry, pray, and be happy. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Don't worry, pray, and be happy. Be careful for nothing. Here's what you should do, saints. And most of you know that Christians, much preaching is reminding Christians of what they already know. As I was traveling across the country and around the world preaching the gospel, preaching the word, what was most disappointing to me was to arrive at a Bible-believing church. Go ahead and give that back to if you don't have it up by now. Is to arrive to a church that had been pastored seemingly well, and the pastor had taught people the word of God. And one of the things that bothered me the most was to go to a Bible-believing church. And people knew what the Bible said. People had heard the preaching for years, but they had made up their minds to disobey the Word of God. And in one last ditch effort, if you will, the pastor would invite me to come and preach and see within 3 to 5 to 7 days whether or not I could revive the church and get it going again. But when people, the people of God, have already made up their minds that they are not going to obey the Word of God, that they're not going to pray and read the Word of God and follow the Lord, it makes no difference who the preacher is. He cannot raise them from the dead. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so much of, thank you, much of the preaching and teaching that called preachers do, ladies and gentlemen, is to remind you of the Word of God. It's up to you whether or not you're going to respond in the right way to the Word of God. It's up to you whether or not you're going to obey the Word of God. And so, as Peter brought out, much of preaching and exhortation from the Word is just reminding you to do what you know already you should do. Most of you know that you should not worry. Most of you know that worrying shows a lack of faith, which God hates with a passion. Most of you know that you should pray, and you should pray about everything. Most of you know that you should rejoice and have the joy of the Lord all of the time, in the morning, afternoon, and in the evening. Be careful for nothing, don't worry about a thing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If you have finally fixed that, you need to fix this over here and that back there. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And we talked about some of this on last week. And here's how you ought to be thinking also. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ And Lord, in spite of satanic attacks against the preaching of your holy word, and in spite of Judases who try to hinder your work, Lord, we give you the glory, we give you the praise, and we give you the honor. And we thank you for the many, many days you have brought us through similar attacks and similar things, and you gave us the victory. And Lord, we know today that you will give us the victory as well. We give you the glory, we give you the praise, and we give you the honor in spite of Satan's work against us. We individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty and the freedom of your Holy Spirit. One lady has a ministry that she calls Free to Soar, and I like that. Christians ought to be free to soar as eagles. As one preacher has preached in the past, Pastor Bill Riddick, some people are so busy being turkeys, they can't fly as eagles. They can't soar as eagles. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be free and to soar as an eagle and to not be groveling down here on the ground with a bunch of turkeys. We don't have to live that kind of defeated life. We can be free to soar, free of worry, free of fretting, free of anxiety, free of care, and free to soar through prayer and rejoicing and joy. Lord, open the blinded eyes of your people who don't understand that, who somehow think the Christian life, even though it is tough, somehow think they can't have joy, they can't have peace. And that is a trick of the devil. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil. And I thank you, Lord, for, as these people know, you were warning me way before the services that the devil was going to attack with foolishness and some things being even unnecessary. And I thank you for leading me to pray with them and to warn them. And it would be worse now if I had not done so, if you had not prompted me to lead them in prayer and to warn them and to tell them. So, Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the devil is mad because he cannot stand for a man to proclaim the gospel each and every day. He cannot stand for a man to preach on prayer each and every Wednesday to encourage thousands upon thousands to pray to you. And he cannot stand the preaching of the Holy Word of God to correct people in their tracks so that they would repent and turn from their evil ways. And he is going to be on me like white on rice and black on me. And I know that because I'm not ignorant of his devices. It would just be nice sometimes if I did not have enemies in my own family, Judases in the church. And Lord, I pray that you would hold them at bay as you always do. And I already know it's going to be a great time around your word, because the harder the devil fights to try to stop me, the more victory you give me. And I thank you for that. And I trust you for sweet victory today as well. Glorify your holy name, lift up your holy son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and save those who are lost. And I feel sorry for the prosperity gospel Christians who have believed a lie that everything is going to go smoothly and wonderfully and sweet in the Christian life, and that they're going to just fly on by the devil and do what they want to do. And that's just not the case. For the apostle said, with much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom of God. And the more we preach the gospel, the more we preach on prayer, the more we pray, the more we read and study your holy word and try to witness to others and share the gospel every day, not only in the pulpit but hand to hand, face to face, Lord, the devil is not going to stand by and let us do that without a fight. Every Christian who has ever lived over the past 2,000 years knows that to be true. And so there's no need for anybody to be disheartened and wonder why things are not going as smoothly as we would like. The devil is in the midst. And we thank you, however, Holy Father God, for letting us know ahead of time, helping us not to be ignorant of the devil's tricks and devices. I knew this was coming. And I thank you, Lord, for leading me to lead them and to warn them that this would happen so that we could be prepared for it as much as possible. Now, Lord, we pray in the end, save those who are lost and revive those who are saved. Encourage Christians to pray without ceasing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. If it's over there, it should be over here. Oh, you need to fix it now and write it down. Ladies and gentlemen, if it's over here, it should be over here. I cannot hear you. Huh? Okay, write it down. Write it down, because that's not the problem. Ladies and gentlemen, again, I want to preach in your hearing. Don't worry, pray, and be happy, or be joyful, part 5, the Praying Through the Bible series, number 318. As many of you know, we are in a rather long series of messages from the Word of God, titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and every verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to encourage you and to challenge you and to exhort you, and yes, even motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible. We have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator, that is Motivator Devotional Bible. I rarely mention this, but it is available on Amazon.com. So far, we have completed 317 messages in this series. Every Wednesday for many years now, and we have, if the Lord should tarry his coming, many more years to go. This is message number 318, titled Don't Worry, Pray, and Be Happy. And I mean that. Part 5. Don't worry. Stop worrying. Stop fretting. Pray. The value of prayer is that God will speak to your heart about things ahead of time and tell you what will happen. He did that for me today. I had prayed extensively this morning, and he warned me. It was just a great morning, great prayer time, and I was getting ready to eat my oatmeal, and he warned me that the devil was going to attack this service. and just as sure as I'm talking to you. And so I warned the staff, and I said, I'm going to pray with you. Here's what the devil is going to do. And if you are not watchful and prayerful, that's going to be a problem. And then I instructed them in no uncertain terms. After I pray with you, I want you to continue to pray nonstop until the services are over. That's exactly what I told them. And yet the devil has attacked and tried to hinder the gospel from going out and the word of God from going out, just like I predicted. However, it is not as bad as it would be if I had not received that warning from God and passed it on. Now, I'm not a charismatic or Pentecostal kind of preacher. I'm a Baptist preacher, and so I normally don't talk about things like that, of God speaking to my heart. I can't explain that kind of thing, but it does happen, particularly for people who pray. The benefit of this is there's no need to worry about it. Once you warn people, once you get the warning and you warn others and you tell them what the consequences will be, then you could be at peace and still have the joy of the Lord and rejoice. With that said, David Steindrast said, it is, and I love this quote, it is not joy that makes us grateful. It is gratitude that makes us joyful. Allow me to say that in your hearing again, because most people don't understand this. I touched on it last week when I told people, you don't go to the movies to get happy. You need to bring happiness to the movies. What I mean by that is, you go to the movies as a reward of accomplishing something, getting something done, and because you're already happy. It's a celebration. You don't go to the movies to get happy. You don't go to on a date to get happy. You go on a date and you bring happiness to the table with you. You don't get married to get happy or joyful. You get married because you're already happy and joyful, and you're getting ready to get even more so, if you will, because you bring happiness and joy to the table. And so I like what this man has said. He said, it is not joy that makes us grateful. It is gratitude that makes us joyful. I cannot imagine a more truthful statement outside of the Bible. This man is right. This man is speaking the truth. My beloved, we are joyful, those of us who are joyful, because we're so grateful. If you don't find yourself thanking God and expressing that thanks to God while you're driving down the road, wherever you might be going early in the morning, and you have been saved for a while as a Christian, there's something wrong somewhere. Much of your prayer ought to be expressing thankfulness to God for what He has done. And by the way, God is the one who not only gives you joy, but God is the one who gives you the heart of gratefulness. And I feel very sorry for so-called Christians who are not first grateful, trying to find joy. It won't happen, Captain. It won't happen, Captain. That will not happen. If you're not grateful, if you're not thankful for what God has already done, if it's just salvation, you will never become a joyful person, a genuinely happy person through and through. You will be a person who the happiness is going to be so fleeting, it comes only when good happenings come your way. How can we stop worrying and be genuinely happy? and not just happy, but joyful. See, true blue Christians, true born-again ones, those who have been truly washed in the blood of the Lamb, they can have joy, watch this, at their mother's funeral. They can have joy when they hear that their dad died. Let me take you a little bit deeper. A true blue born-again Christian, even when his child dies, yes, it's going to hurt, but they can still have the joy of the Lord. They can rejoice. You know how they do it? First of all, they thank God for the 16 years they had with the child. Can somebody say amen? That's how true Christians think. That's how born-again ones think. That's how those who have been truly washed in the blood of the Lamb, that's how they roll. Something bad happens, they thank God for all of the great days they did have with that child, or with that wife, or with that husband, or with that father, that grandpapa. They thank God for all of the great dinners they enjoyed. They thank God for all of the laughter that they had together. They thank God for the moments they watched a show together and had an aha moment. They thank God for that father who sits in front of the TV and just criticizes everything that comes on. They remember those moments and they are grateful and they are thankful, and therefore by the grace of God they are joyful. Can somebody say amen? It's inexplicable. Peace that passeth all understanding. Joy unspeakable and inexplicable. You can't explain it. That's why you hear me say to God oftentimes, God, I don't understand it all, but I thank you for it all. I told some folks yesterday, the truth of the matter is, if it had not been for the grace of God, we would not be standing today. And all of us would be in hell, and deservedly so. And not only that, we have deserved bad things to happen on earth, a little hell on earth. You say, preacher, what is hell on earth? When you get injured and you didn't get killed, and you have to suffer with a debilitating illness or sickness for the rest of your life. You got to walk with a limp and a hurricane. That's the new modeled cane that people are talking about today. I get tickled at the commercial. They say, man, I love my hurricane, my hurricane. They're talking about a little cane to walk on. They say they can't do without it. How did you do without it before it came along? There are some things that can happen to you in life that are worse than death, my dear friends. Getting into a terrible car accident that puts you in traction in the hospital and you're paralyzed from your waist or your neck down. That's worse than death. To me, I would rather die than to be paralyzed from my neck down. To have to get your legs amputated for some reason, I would rather die personally than to have somebody wheeling me around, helping me in the bathroom, having to bathe me, talking about turnover. Are you kidding me? I don't want that. And you don't either. I'm not going to commit suicide about it, but I would rather be dead. There's some bad things that can happen to you in this life, dear friend. Are you cheerful? Are you joyful? If you are not grateful, you can't be. There are some people so dark in their hearts and minds, they can't find one thing to be grateful for. I'm talking about so-called Bible-believing evangelical Christians. They're mad as hell all of the time. mean as the devil all of the time. Can speak to everybody in the church, but can't speak to their wife, can't speak to their husband, can't speak to their children, can't speak to their parents. They're hypocrites, phonies, and fakes. And they show all kinds of fake happiness at church and get it when they get around the gang, but no happiness, no joy, no peace at all when they get around their family members. So that is the question today we are addressing by the grace of God in this series. So far, we have learned that through Jesus Christ, it is indeed possible to rejoice despite the circumstances and the anxiety that threatens our daily life. And Paul tells us three specific things that we can do to ensure that we can rejoice in the Lord. Some of you are not going to take Paul's advice, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Some of you will. A few of you will. I pray that all of you will. Because life is not worth living, dear friends, without the Lord, and the peace that passes all understanding that comes from the Lord, and the joy unspeakable. Life is exhilarating. Life is exciting. Life is wonderful when you have the Lord, and you're being obedient to the Lord, and you have His peace, therefore, and His joy unspeakable. Amen, somebody who believes the word of God. First, my beloved, we ought to pray. We talked about this already. That is what Paul did. And how about it, dear Christian? Are you praying about your mess? Are you praying about the trouble that you're in? And you're probably in trouble. God has a way of making sure that you have some trouble in your life. You can try to prevent it all you want to. You will have enemies. You will have trouble. You will have problems. You will never eliminate that in the Christian life. Trouble seems to come double when it comes to the Christian. It's going to always be something. Maybe your spouse, maybe your child, maybe your sick parent, it may be a friend who was once your friend, but they forsook you, on and on and on. Temptations, trials, tribulations. The Christian is either in trouble, getting ready to go into trouble, or just came out of trouble, always, somebody said, and I agree. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. You can reduce your living expenses down to almost nothing, and then here comes a big old problem with a car problem that you might have. So always the devil just is going to constantly try you and test you and tempt you. You moved away from one bad situation, and then zip, bam, boom, here's another one. As the old black saints used to say, if it ain't one thing, it's another. I didn't know what they were talking about back then, but now I know. Job knows about it too. If it's not one thing, it's another. If we received what Job got, what the devil put on Job, most of us would be blasted out of the water. We would not survive. We would have been gone a long time ago, out, gone with the wind for sure. This is what Paul did. He prayed. How about you, dear Christian? Are you praying about your situation? Are you praying about your sadness? David did. When he didn't know what was going on and why he felt the way he did, he prayed to God. Yeah. Are you praying for your marriage that's on the skids, on the rocks? Are you praying for your teenagers who are acting like the devil from hell? You don't need a horror movie because you got one in your house. It's called Your Monster Teenager. who has changed dramatically from the cute, sweet, smiling, giddy, joyful, happy little boy he was when he was 7, 8, 9. Now you don't know him, and he acts like he doesn't know you. Are you praying about it? Are you praying about it so that you can stop worrying and you can have God's happiness and God's peace and God's joy about the situation, and you just do all you can do? God told you what to do. Are you doing that? Pray. And if they need a butt whipping, give them a butt whipping and be happy. Amen, somebody. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. He prayed in prison. Some of you might be in prison in more ways than one. Are you praying? Or are you playing? He prayed and cast all of his burdens and cares on the Lord. Some of you quote the verse, cast all of your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. But you don't believe it. You don't cast all of your cares upon the Lord. You cast them upon Stephanie, upon Barbara, upon Smitty, family members, co-workers. And you depend upon them to help you get out of your mess. And they can't help you. Why? Because they're in a mess. Have mercy on your friends. Have mercy on your family members, and understand they're going through their own hell. And they need for you to take care of your hell. Secondly, we should engage in supplication. That is the earnest sharing of our needs, not with others, and our deepest feelings, not with others, but with God himself. Can somebody say amen? Don't go to anybody. Number one, if they're not a prayer warrior. Number two, if they're not getting their prayers answered. Number three, if their lives are just as miserable as yours, don't go to them to pray with them. Go to God first. Don't go to anybody until you go to God first. Then go pray with somebody who you know can get a hold of God. I'm talking about Sister Mildred. Okay? She is heavyset. She's 67 years old. But she can get a hold of God with you. Don't go to your young friends who are just as miserable and sad as you are, because they're not praying, they're not practicing supplication at all. Get with somebody who is a prayer warrior for real, who has a proven track record of praying to God and getting their prayers answered. You may not be able to go to your sister and your brother, and there's some people you don't even need to tell them, please pray for me. They're going to say, for what? What's going on? You look kind of out of it. And what kind of problems are you having? And they're not interested in praying for you. They're interested in gossiping about you. Don't tell them. They'll have your mess all over the church and all over town. No, there's some folks like that. And by the way, they're not going to pray for you. 10 times out of 10, if you go to somebody and say, would you please pray for me? If they don't drop on their knees and start praying for you right then, they're not going to pray for you. Those are the serious prayer warriors. Around here, we get prayer requests all of the time, all times of the day, all times of the night. Soon as they give it to me, I pray for them right then. I'll pray for them a little bit later. No, I don't do that. I pray for them right then. And then they add it to the list. And then we pray for them until they tell us to stop. I pray immediately. I might be sleepy, I might be tired, I might be busy. I'm going to stop and I'm going to pray at that point. So this means that sometimes our prayers will not be pretty. They will not be eloquent, and God does not care about that anyway, as you know. We may feel apprehensive about verbalizing what is truly in our heart. But censoring ourselves doesn't work with God, because God already knows our hearts. Can somebody say amen? Trying to hide what is going on from God is futile. sometimes you have to get down and ugly. Not ugly towards God, but crying and shedding some tears and letting the mascara run and the lipstick run. Before you know it, you look in the mirror, you look like the Joker. You've been crying so hard and praying so hard and sweating. Recently, the beautiful singer Carrie Underwood, who quite frankly I love, she's a Christian young lady. I do not believe she's the most talented woman out there, and I hope that she will change that song that she put together for the NFL and go back to the old song, Are You Ready for Some Football? But I love her. I love her. She's a good Christian young lady. She's been through hell and back. I don't know what is going on in the family. I hope that man did not push her down the stairs or whatever happened to her. She got all those stitches. She still looks beautiful. But something happened not too long ago, several times, matter of fact. She opened up about how she got real with God. And this is a term that is prevalent among millennials. She got real with God. She, and I believe she's 30 something now, after suffering, she said, 3 miscarriages. She told CBS Sunday Morning that she asked the Lord, why do I keep getting pregnant if I can't have a kid? That's what she called. That's what white folks call their children kids. What is this? She said. Shut the door, Lord. Do something. Either shut the door to the pregnancy thing or let me have a kid. She just got down and dirty with it. Down and ugly, if you will. Not disrespectful. She just, come on. What's going on? That's already in her heart. She might as well verbalize it. God already knows it's there. She said, for the first time, I feel like I actually told God how I felt. She said, I feel like we're supposed to do that. She's right. She's right. All of you people trying to hide stuff in your heart from God, you're wasting your time. You'll never have any joy that way. Because God is saying, I already know what's in your little heart, and you won't tell me. That's what this verse is about in the Word of God here. It's very clear. When the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, watch this, with thanksgiving, that's what we're talking about today, let your requests be made known unto God. Stop hiding stuff from God. It's already there. Tell God how you truly feel. And by the way, God will let you tell him how you truly feel when he will not let you tell your wife how you truly feel. There's some things that husbands cannot say to their wives, and there's some things wives should not say to their husbands. But you can tell God all about it. God, this wife that you have given me, she's getting on my last nerve. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to help me to cope with this situation, and I'm asking you, Lord, to change this witch's heart and help her to repent of her rebelliousness and her stubbornness. Lord, you know I'm tempted to get with Betty Sue, and Lord, I don't want to tell my wife that, because then here we go again. Now, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, please forgive her of her sins and change her very fast. Amen. You can tell, see, God already knows this in your heart. Lord, I'm getting ready to cuss somebody out. Lord, I don't want to do that, Lord, because I know it's wrong, and I know you're going to make me feel guilty when I do that, because I would be grieving you. Now, Lord, help me not to cuss my husband out, but I'm getting ready to lay down my religion and tell him and give him a piece of my mind. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to intervene and to help me, because you know what's in my heart. You know what I want to say. You know I can't say it. You don't want me to say it to him, so I'm going to say it to you. Amen, somebody. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. You better talk to God. He already knows what's in your heart. Tell him. Some of you men ought to stop lying, acting like you're an angel. You have never thought of such things. Oh, my soul, I'm not tempted with the beautiful women. I'm a Christian. I'm a church-going man. I sing in the choir. Oh, you lying hypocrite. Tell the truth to God at least. Lord, if you don't hold me back, I'm going to mess up. Lord, I'd rather go home than mess up again. So, Lord, I pray that you deliver me from this temptation. Deliver me from this evil. Lord, like your servant David, my foot was almost gone. She's so fine. And she's so nice to me. She always compliments my preaching, and my wife never does. Lady Macbeth never does. But, Lord, I need your help. Just tell the truth to God and shame the devil and stop this lying. Get real with God as long as you do it respectfully. God does not mind it. God is big, and if you will, God is big, and in the Negro vernacular, bad enough to take anything you can throw at him, because our God is awesome. In fact, let's sing that song at the end of our service. Our God is awesome. We are supposed to do that. Tell God the truth, because he already knows what's in your heart, every word, everything in your mind. God already knows about it. So give it to God. Pray about it. You'll be amazed at what God will do. You'll be amazed at how God will change your wife, how God will change your husband, how he will hold the devils who are against you back. You'll be amazed. But if you hit the rock like Moses did, God's going to deal with you. And doing that is essential. Telling God the truth, it is essential to our joy. Remember, God is the one person you can always be honest with, because he already knows what's in your heart. But there is one other thing today we ought to do in order to have God's joy and God's peace and God's happiness, and that is rejoice in the Lord always. That is not a suggestion. That is a commandment. It's not based upon how you feel. Somebody wrote a book titled How to Control Your Emotions. Some of you Christians need to read that. You live by your feelings. You don't live by biblical facts. And that's why you're always up and down like a yo-yo. God wants us to rejoice in the Lord always. In order to do that, we need to do it with thanksgiving. We need to give thanks to God. Paul says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. I cannot emphasize this enough. I did not make myself a thankful person. I did not make myself a grateful person before I got saved. I was not that. In my early years as a Christian, I was not that. But somehow God, in his mercy, his grace, and his love, will break you, make you, and mold you to start seeing things differently. I became a very grateful and thankful man. I would imagine out of 40 years, maybe 20 years ago. My family and I have written many, many books on Thanksgiving. with the emphasis on true thanksgiving to God, being grateful for all that He's done. I believe that God has blessed our family tremendously and has used our family tremendously because He put a spirit of thanksgiving in us. My oldest daughter has written almost just as many books as I have on thanksgiving and the importance of it. And I would encourage you to pray and ask God to give you a thankful heart, because you can't fake that. It's got to be real. And I guarantee you, once you get it, you will be changed forever. Let your request be made known unto God with thanksgiving. While you are asking for things, supplicating for things, and sharing your needs very honestly, in a very real way, be sure to remember and thank God for all that He has done for you already. Gratitude begets joy. Don't you ever forget it. William Arthur Ward said it this way: gratitude can transform common days into thanksgiving, turn routine jobs into joy, and change ordinary opportunities into blessings. Let me tell you something. If you're not thankful for the privilege of cutting your grass, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you're not thankful for washing dishes for the people in your family and for your children, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you're mad as the devil over doing the menial tasks that you are supposed to do in life, if you're not thankful for a bathroom, and may God bless you if you have your own bathroom, if you're not thankful for that, you don't know what I'm talking about. You may not have a Bentley, but if you're not thankful for the transportation you have, I don't care if it's a bike, you don't know what I'm talking about. You may have 4 flat tires one day on the highway. If you're not thankful for the hundreds of days you didn't have 1 flat tire, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you're not thankful for the piece of wife that you have, or the piece of husband that you have, and the piece of family that you have, as one preacher said one time, you need to thank God you got somebody to fuss with, because one day that's going to be gone. You don't know what I'm talking about. And everybody has a piece of something. Nobody has the perfect marriage, contrary to what the liars say on Facebook and Instagram. They're lying and they're getting ready to kill each other. They're lying. Don't even buy into that mess. I'm talking about people in the church. All these wonderful pictures set up with the wonderful backgrounds and their beautiful baby. Don't buy into that mess. And these people who go around talking about my sweet thing, my honey bunch, and all that garbage. Don't buy into that. Everybody got a piece of wife and a piece of husband and a piece of children, and nobody's complete, nobody's perfect. Nobody will be until Jesus comes. Can somebody say amen? And God still expects you to deal with it. That's right. Thank God for your piece of family with all of their issues and faults and problems. And everybody has that going on in their family. No family is better than the other. They will have different issues to deal with, but everybody has a piece of family. Don't think otherwise. Otherwise, you're going to get depressed. And so, beloved, when we remember to pray with thanksgiving, we remind not God but ourselves of all that we have to be thankful for. In fact, the truth of the matter, and this is true for everybody living today, particularly Christian people, and that is, if God never blessed you again, it will take you all of eternity to give him praise and thanks for what he's already done for you. And that's a fact. This is essential to being joyful, despite whatever negative circumstances we may be facing at the time. Yet it is easy for us to forget to say thank you, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. But when you get your heart right with God, you'll be saying it so much, and you'll have so much joy, and you'll have so much peace, and so much rejoicing in your life. It's going to almost be like you're about to burst. Just as you likely have a prayer list, and this is a great idea, and I would encourage you to do this today. Start your praise list. How guilty we are, how unthankful we are. We got a prayer list, but we don't have a praise list. We have a prayer time at the church, but not a praise time anymore. And some of us stopped that for good reason, because before Instagram and Facebook, there was always Sister Stella standing up every Wednesday night, the most cursed individual in the church, but yet always telling how blessed she is. We had to stop her. I'm just using the name Stella. Don't write me. I'm not talking about you if your name is Stella. I'm just using it. Always a Sister Stella, always standing up, just bouncing up, going through hell at her own making. Everybody knows it, but she always got a praise on. Hell of your own making does not count. Okay, people? Okay, we're not talking about that. List and write down all of the things that you have to thank God for. In fact, one of those things should be all of the answers to prayer. All of the answers to prayer that God has given you. You ought to keep a journal of praise. How about that? A journal of praise and prayer. If you struggle with remembering things to thank God for, and we will do that with our sinful flesh. Isn't it amazing? We struggle to remember what God has already done for us, but we don't struggle to remember what we need to pray for. Maybe this beautiful hymn by Percival Chubb might help you. He said, "We lift our hearts in thanks today for all the gifts of life, and first for peace that turns away the enemies of strife, and next the beauty of the earth, its flowers and lovely things, the springs, great miracle of birth with sound of songs and wings, then harvests of its teeming soil in orchard, croft, and field, but more the service and the toil of those who helped them yield, and most the gifts of hope and love, of wisdom, truth, and right, the gifts that shine like stars above to chart the world by night." Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you, Lord, along with prayer, for the power of thanksgiving and how it produces joy in our lives and rejoicing. And so, Holy Father God, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for these tools that you've given to us, these privileges that you've given to us to not only go to heaven one day through believing on Jesus Christ and experiencing joy and peace like we've never experienced on earth, but to have some of that joy and that peace in this sin-cursed world while we're going through trials and tribulations and trouble. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Help us to be prayerful. Help us to be thankful. help us to practice supplication. Help us to be real with you, because you're real with us and you know all about us. Help us to at least tell you the truth. Have mercy and grace upon us, and forgive us of our prayerlessness and our ungratefulness and our unthankfulness. Forgive us for lying about our prayers and not telling you the truth. And Lord, help us to pray and to seek your face with thanksgiving and to rejoice always. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand with me that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments, God's Ten Commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. For the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in a devil's hell." Hell is a terrible place. Hell is a bad place. Living in hell on earth is bad too. All of that can change for you if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying to you that hellacious experiences on earth will go away. They will not. But you will be able to rejoice even in them if you would trust Christ as Savior. Hell is bad news, but heaven is good news, and I have some good news for you on how to get to heaven. Jesus Christ said these words to Nicodemus one night, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," Jesus Christ, "that whosoever," that includes you, "believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and you shalt be saved. You do not have to join a church to be saved. I know my pastor friends hate for me to say that, but it's true. You don't have to shake the pastor's hand to be saved. You don't have to take a chair in front of the church to be saved. You don't have to even go through the right hand of fellowship to be saved. You don't have to sing in the choir to be saved. You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. And you don't have to give any money to be saved. You don't even have to get baptized to get saved. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, all of our ugly sins, our adultery, our drunkenness, our pride, our lust, our lying, whatever it is. No matter how wicked you have been, no matter who you have done it with, God will forgive you if you trust Christ as Savior, and he'll cleanse away your sins and change your life. Would you pray with me right now, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ? For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved from a hellacious life. A miserable life made miserable by sin. And no joy and no peace. Pray with me right now, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Lamb of God who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. and that I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by taking your holy name in vain, by coveting and lusting after people and things that don't belong to me, by stealing things, by dishonoring my parents, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in Him that He died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, no matter where you are in the world, no matter what stream you are getting this from, as we have six streams or more going out of here all around the world. If you can't hear it on one, you'll hear it on another, and we thank God for you. It makes no difference where you are. If you pray that prayer with me, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, I declare to you that based upon the authority of the Word of God, you are now saved from hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good is my prayer.